My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the EDP Formula One podcast. This week brought to you by Scampi Fries and The Rose. Fine public house in Norwich. Michael Bailey here with Carl Cumbers and Dave Tillier. It's all very serene, this, isn't it? It's something which you're eating scampi fries.
Just trying to get the scampi fries down before I start speaking.
Fantastic. Yeah. Just wash it down with
Mother taught me well.
Wash it down with your table water. Yes. Yeah, we'll have to do this more often, I think. Yeah, quite enjoying
definitely.
This.
Yes. Yeah, they don't serve these sort of beverages at
tap water at Archon Towers. No, we don't get any water at Archon. No. Although we'd then be working properly, I suppose. Whereas this is the benefit of having a week off, which also means I am a little bit disorganised, so we may have to weather through. But the good news was there was a Grand Prix at the weekend, and I watched it. Mm. Just about. Did you guys see it?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yes, it's good.
We're all quids in then.
It's a good start then.
Yeah,
we're on the same page.
We've all roughly got a rough idea of what we're talking about. Even if we hadn't watched it, we probably know what the news is, which is Sebastian Vettel.
Guess what happened? Yeah,
is a legend in our lifetime. Should we wax lyrical about him now that he's actually won his fourth title?
Well, everybody else has, so yeah.
Should we just leave it to them?
You can't take it away from him. He has done something quite incredible, something that I don't think anyone has done up until this point, given his age. One of only four drivers, I think, now that have got four world titles or more.
All in consecutive years.
Yeah, and all in consecutive years. And all within the first, 6 years of his, 6-7 years of his F1 career. You know, it is very impressive. And, you know, you could say, yeah, fair enough, he's had the best car all the time, blah, 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 blah. But even with the best car, you still have to bring it across the line. So he has done well. I still don't think he's the best driver of our current generation, but
he still has the chance to prove it, maybe.
Tip my hat to him nonetheless.
Hat tipped. He did it in fine style, it has to be said, didn't it? With the way he clawed his way back through the field after his pit stop, and also qualifying. The lap he produced in qualifying was just obliterated anything that had gone before, pretty much.
Yeah, he's I think Christian Horner told him to do it in style, and he certainly did. At least, and also he made the race quite exciting. I don't know. I doubt Red Bull actually planned it to make it exciting.
I'm sure they absolutely did.
But yeah, for him to come through the grid the way he did, and also the last, was it six wins out of seven? He's just ran away with the title.
He loves Asia at the best of times.
Yeah, and he seems to like Europe now as well. Or seems to have got over his Europe jinx. So
just generally likes the world.
Yeah, he's saying, oh, he's strong at this circuit. Red Bull and him are strong at every circuit, so.
Whereas historically he has had circuits where they've been good and circuits where they've been bad. Red Bull seem to have just polished themselves into a force that can't be reckoned with, you know?
Yeah, can't be touched. Which I suppose is, whilst, you know, the rest of the 2013 season will be, you know, fairly relaxed and we can take it or leave it, I suppose, as it comes. It does bode the question of a few things changing next year, but is it really going to change? Can we even hazard a guess at the moment? I suppose it's all too unknown, isn't it?
Mm. I think we might have McLaren back next year in some kind of competitive performance aspect.
I'd put another year on that. Is Jensen going to be there then? Yeah, happy Jensen's going to be rocking up in a McLaren.
Well, I can't imagine that they'll lose him this year, because there isn't really much more, much better prospects out on the market. Whether or not they keep Perez is another question, because although he's on a 2-year contract, they could lose him at the end of this year. And whilst they defend him, they haven't also, you know, applauded him at the same time. So, you know, it depends on who's out there, and, you know, they may well choose to look at other people. I mean, Hülkenberg, in my eyes, would be a guy to grab to have in a McLaren.
I'd agree with that. Yeah. Anywhere.
Chances are he's probably going to go to Lotus, but.
Well, we're expecting their lineup to be confirmed at any time soon, if so we believe.
Grosjean's already been signed, hasn't he, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think all depending on the Quantum F1.
Is it that their new name, isn't it? It used to be Infinity Racing, obviously, but they didn't quite realise there was already Infinity. Infinity with an I in Formula 1.
It seems to be that if their backing comes in, Hulkenberg's got the job, or if not, then Maldonado brings his Venezuelan oil money.
Which is about all he brings at the moment.
Yeah, about 20 million of it, isn't it? Something like that.
That's not bad. So, what do you reckon about Red Bull next year, Carl? Would you be hoping for it?
Maybe
mixing up.
That's maybe a bit harsh to be hoping, but I think spectators just want to see somebody different. But I mean, they're not. Obviously, it seems to be the idea that Mercedes will be strong next year, but no guarantee. I mean, Red Bull is pretty much Renault Engines works team, so they come along and run away again. I think a lot is going to depend on the engine, so it's between Mercedes, Ferrari and Renault, whoever builds that and develops that through the year, really, at the moment. So
it's going to be a bit old school next year, isn't it? It's going to be quite interesting. Anyway, back to India. Whilst Sebastian Vettel was celebrating with his donuts, which I enjoyed very much, he obviously then got subsequently reprimanded for it, told off.
I think that's a bit silly from the FIA. I mean, at the end of the day, the guy's just won this fourth world championship. He's going to be excited, you know. Let him celebrate in front of the fans.
You know what they should have done? Given him like a 22 place grid penalty for the next race, made him start from the back of the
That'd be a bit of a laugh.
What would it matter? Actually has no impact on anything. He can still qualify on pole.
They've won both championships. It's all wrapped up, isn't it?
Which was something else I saw. Christian Horner, I think the youngest team principal to oversee four Constructors' Championships as well.
How old is Mr. Horner?
It's out of the late 30s, I think. Yeah, ridiculously young for his appearance and his job, possibly. But they've just got it all together, I suppose. And I suppose, someone mentioned how lukewarm the celebrations were, which I suppose only won it four times. You know, it's not going to be quite as hysterical as the other ones. Although I, personally, when I saw it, I thought, no, that's all good stuff. I just wonder the hunger, whether that starts to wane at some point. Because surely it's not only Sebastian Vettel who's maybe going to want to prove something at another team. But
I think they probably distill their hunger into every weekend. So they're hungry every weekend to get that result. And then by being hungry every weekend, that culminates in overall to getting the championship. Maybe because it's been written on the wall for the last couple of races that it's going to happen. It's just now that it's just confirmed. Maybe that's why we're a little bit subdued. You know, it's not down to the wire. You know, it's not a Brazil end of season finale. You know, it's just been the box has been ticked and away they go. But I don't know.
Mark Webber would have liked to have maybe contributed to them winning the Constructors' Championship, but his car broke again. Pretty standard stuff. Although I did admire the way he walked down the paddock with a big old beaming smile on his face.
Yes, yeah, poor old Mark Webber, isn't it? Yeah. I think I don't know how many times he's had reliability problems this year. It's pretty good. And it seems to happen just on Mark Webber's car. But he had a good race. I don't think he's going to win it, but he was safely in second position. I said before, another one. I just hope he has one last victory or something, you know, a big occasion just to round off his career, because he sort of don't want it to end up just petering away and he heads off to Porsche. But not his fault. He had a good race, and he qualified really well, I thought, on the harder tyres to be fourth. That was a good performance. I think Christian Horner said it was like a pole position, to be honest. So good weekend. It's just his car let him down again.
We just want that big performance, don't we? We're greedy, I suppose, but maybe it'll happen at some point. Maybe. But at least he was still smiling, which was good.
I think he left early, didn't he? Which doesn't surprise me, but
doesn't care anymore, does he?
No.
I mean, he rocked up at Singapore with a few vodkas and not really preparing for the whole race. So, my favourite quote of the year. Absolutely. All right then, let's switch to some EDP F1 pit stops. We've already really dealt with. Are we enjoying the scamper fries? I see you're tucking in there. I'm going to eat one now, which is not a good idea because I'm still talking. We're going to do done and dusted with. I wonder if we keep mentioning scampy fries, do you think they'll start sending us some packs?
Maybe, maybe.
They don't have to pay money, just chuck a scampi fries, that would do. I'm pretty sure this is against some kind of rule somewhere.
Other fried snacks are available.
Yeah, but whether they taste as good is maybe up for debate. I reckon we've dealt with Red Bull, obviously Sebastian Vettel, cracking stuff. So let's look elsewhere, and let's start with Lotus, because my dark horse for the year, yes, all right, hasn't won it, but Romain Grosjean coming into his own at the moment. Some stellar performances, and after a bit of a team botch up in qualifying, stunning race, stunning performance to pull out another podium finish.
And I think we were discussing this just before you arrived, that
I wasn't late.
That we were early. I'm having to eat my humble pie, because I think earlier on in this season, or right at the start of the season, I said that they shouldn't have re-signed Grosjean. I thought he was temperamental. Not a safe bet, but actually he's been, probably in the last five or six races, he's matured, and actually he is quite a hot prospect now, and he's shown that he is now a quick driver, he's also a reliable driver. He's always been a quick driver, he's just been, you know, so unreliable. And I think, as one of the Lotus top people said, it's easier to take a quick driver and make them reliable, take a reliable driver and make them quick.
Absolutely.
So I'm very impressed with Grosjean. I think he's one of my favourite parts of the sort of latter part of the season.
He's a great guy anyway. I really am a Grosjean fan.
Yeah, because I kind of feel sorry for him for last season, because he was, you know, incidents he had to, you know, go in that media pen, and at times he looked like he was in tears, so he's basically on the tears. So it's always good to see somebody come back, and like I said, he's complete reverse as he was last year. He's consistent, avoids trouble, you know, especially qualifying, was it 17th where he qualified?
Yeah. Out in Q1,
yeah,
as you didn't predict.
A lot of things can happen sort of at that part of the grid, so and he drove the perfect race. You know, I didn't really see him until, or notice him until the last sort of 15 laps, and thought, oh, wait a minute, you know, Grosjean's on for a podium here. I mean, Pirelli said the tyres would only last a maximum of 35 laps, and he got 50.
Did it on a one stopper, didn't he?
He started on the soft tyre, I think he pitted on lap 13, I think, and went to the end with a 60 lap race.
Yeah.
So
that's for making up for the maybe tyre botch on the in qualifying with some fantastic stuff.
It was a long race as well.
Wasn't it?
It just felt really long.
Lotus might be a funny one next year, because they have lost the likes of James Allison and a lot of pretty good, useful experience there. So it's going to be difficult to see how competitive that car is going to be. But it's good what they've done so far, I suppose, they're threatening in the Constructors' Championship still.
Well, I think with the way that Formula 1 is now, you can't really say how good a car is until the middle of next season, because as we've seen for the last couple of years, testing doesn't really seem to mean anything, and the first few races of the season don't seem to mean anything in terms of performance. You know, the real, you know, championships are won in, you know, the middle and latter quarters of a season now. They're not won, you know, it's not like 2009 when Jensen won it, where, you know, they had the best car and they were able to, you know, to get the results and build that point advantage. You know, now it's, you know, you need to have the best car come the end of the season, not the best car at the start of the season.
It's interesting with testing whether they'll start sandbagging cars or not, whether they'll be more keen to see how quick the actual cars are. But back to this year, Mercedes and Ferrari are in a proper battle for second in the Constructors' Championship, aren't they, at the moment? I think Lotus are fourth and probably really a little bit fringy in terms of whether they can finish any higher or not. What do you reckon?
28 points behind.
Well, that's doable, isn't it? Yeah.
So,
Mercedes is second at the moment.
Yeah, with 4 points ahead of Ferrari. So,
who do we think is going to come out on top of that lot?
Not Ferrari. I mean, Ferrari hangs between Mercedes and Lotus for me.
I think Mercedes.
Great drive by Nico. It must be said, Nico Rosberg.
I think, unfortunately, they were held up by Massa. So I don't know whether Mercedes straight line speed or has gone. I don't know. Maybe this has had to solve their rear tyre problems. Because anyway, Rosberg could get past Massa through the pits, and then that's just. Then Hamilton just ended up behind him for half a race. So they've sort of gone for the old Red Bull trick of sort of. They have to qualify well and get him, you know. Not get out in front because Vettel's out in front, but get behind Vettel and then and race from there. But yeah, because Rosberg's pace when he was free with Massa was good. So yeah, it's a shame. I don't think they would have been closer to Vettel if they hadn't got held up by Massa. But, I think it's between Lotus and Mercedes. I think Lotus have developed the car the second half of the year better, especially since the tyres have changed. But I think it would be a good little battle. So in the past we'd say taking Vettel out of races, now it's just like Red Bull out of the championship, and it's a good little championship.
Well, literally just focus on Ferrari, Mercedes and Lotus.
Well, I think from a fan's point of view, that's all you can focus on now. Yeah. But talk about Rosberg though. I think it's one of the first good, really good performances he's put in for a few races, I think.
I think it's quite important for him because I think at the start of the year it was quite even between him and Hamilton. Hamilton seems to sort of the last 8-10 races seems to take a bit of the leader of the team.
Yeah,
and now Rosberg came back with a good performance. Yeah,
he's become Hamilton's become really comfortable with the car, comfortable with the team. Mm. You know, obviously it was going to be easier for Rosberg to start with because he was coming from something new.
Yeah,
been at the team for a few seasons. Yeah, so.
I want to touch on the Caterham Marussia battle, and even though there's not really anything to say, but just the ongoing erosion of races for Caterham. Do any of us think Caterham are going to pit Marussia before the end of the season and take 10th?
No, there's always rain possibility in Brazil.
Relying on rain in Brazil, basically.
The thing is that they need a 13th place to in order to achieve that, and there isn't enough retirements these days for them to somehow get up there, and they haven't got the pace to beat the people that would be finishing in sort of 12th, 13th, 14th. So it's not a case of them beating Marussia. From what I understand, the only way that they can beat Marussia now is if they were to get a 13th place, and they've got to beat other people to get the 13th, which is just not going to happen. And from a fan's point of view, you know, watching a race, if you just isolate the coverage of the race and just focus on that, it's almost like Marussia and Caterham aren't there. They might as well not have those two teams, because the only time you ever see them is occasionally when they get lapped. But, you know, you don't see any battles. It's kind of like, it's almost kind of, you know, sort of what's the point almost.
Vandegaard a moment by Max Chilton.
Well, poor old Max.
It's a bit harsh,
aren't it? It's a bit. I think he was a bit annoyed. He seemed to suggest that it happened before.
Comes to Max, he blamed him for the crash with Jules Bianchi in Japan, which I didn't quite understand.
He's got a good memory, an old there, Guido. Yeah, it's a tricky one. What's the point might be a question they ask in the winter, because they're going to have a long, expensive season coming up. And I'm not sure how Caterham function if they don't finish 10th. That's a lot of money that they've had the last... Well, every year they've been in Formula 1, that's money they've had.
Yeah.
It's suddenly going to be taken away. And someone like Tony Fernandez is going to be... that's a massive hole that we've got to fill. I'm not quite sure how we're going to fill it. We're not going to sell enough cars to help fill it anyway, so...
No, not at the moment.
Or bikes.
They've got a Moto2 team for MotoGP fans out there next year. So the start of that, so that's another venture. So.
Expense.
Yeah.
QPR aren't getting any richer at the moment.
Although they have just launched a new affordable 7, which is like a 600 or 800cc engine in it or something, for like 17 grand.
Okay. But if we all buy one of them...
I reckon they'll sell a bucket of those.
Well, if we bought one of those each, three of us, then that's what, 40-50 grand. Just another 9.95 million to go.
I was going to say that's the wheel nuts for a race.
gotta love it. The only other, I don't know if anyone else has got anything they want to mention, but I did just want to mention Esteban Gutierrez. Had a great battle with Alonso at one point and took a really great move from Alonso to get past him. Really stepped up, hasn't he, in recent weeks? I wasn't expecting a lot of him at the start of the season. Well, that's not true. I was expecting him to go into walls and other cars a lot. But actually, second half of the year, I think he's done pretty well.
I mean, someone on the previous race, I thought actually quite a poor race the weekend. He qualified quite way behind Hülkenberg.
Mm. But yeah, on a track he hadn't driven before.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
He drives that one, but still.
But yeah, he has improved. Because at the start of the year, I didn't actually think he deserved a year or a seat in the championship. Yeah, he's improved and he probably deserves another year. I think he deserves 2 years at least to give it a go. We've seen from Grosjean, you know. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on next year, hopefully. Sound good for him.
Well, it helps if Sergei Sorokin admitting himself that he might not be ready for Formula 1 next year. We might not see him. So.
Petrov's name mentioned last week.
Indeed.
Yeah.
The return of Vitaly.
The big Russian.
Well, it's a Russian Grand Prix, so, you know.
And the Austin Young, Toro Rosso, Viet, obviously.
Exactly, well, that's true, yeah. Yeah, it's Daniel Kvyat.
Yeah, so I wasn't able to voice my disdain for that because of, you know, many scampi fries in my mouth.
does have a downside.
Exactly. Very tasty, though. The driver market's got to be better than that. You know, it's got to be. You know, Petrov did okay for Renault, didn't do particularly well for Caterham, but you know he's had his chance. And it's what annoys me about Formula One at the moment is that it just seems to be at the moment whoever's got the biggest. I know it's been like that for a long time, but it just doesn't seem to be like this fresh talent coming through. You know, and I remember, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago when, you know, Vettel was first on the scene and Hamilton was first on the scene, and, you know, before Alonso had won his world championships, we had these like really hot prospects, these people that were going to be brilliant, and we were really excited about seeing a Formula 1 car. And now it's just like drivers coming through that have just got, well, we've got a load of money, but
yeah,
you know, haven't really got the huge amount of history behind them to kind of make us get excited as fans. But
it's also slightly worrying, it's like the mid-table teams that require these big paid drivers. You don't mind the bottom two teams picking up drivers. I know Alonso's probably a paid driver at one point, and you will get eventually the one exceptional driver out of them. But it's a worry when teams like Force India and Sabre, even Lotus to an extent, I was looking for drivers with money first and then talent second.
Absolutely. Do we know much about Daniel Kvyat?
No, not really.
No. It's surprising that he pipped Alex Felix da Costa. Mm. Maybe he was hotly tipped at the old Red Bull school of young drivers.
Yeah, he looks like Felix da Costa looks like a good driver, and we've got Magnussen as well. He's McLaren, he's a McLaren test driver. Jan Magnussen's son. So he's supposed to be one to look at for the future. So there is. That's the, again, going back to what I was saying. That's the thing that's annoying. There is the talent there. You know. There is, you know, look at Jules Bianchi, you know, he was the better, he was one of the more talented people that was available last year in the driver market. He only ended up getting a drive because someone else couldn't end up paying their bills. You know, and that's wrong. Yeah, that doesn't...
I'm looking into Viet or Viet, but I just hope they don't do Alguersuari again, sort of chuck him in too early. And then
chuck him out.
Yeah, chuck him out, you know. Before, you know, because I was worried, I think it was 19 when he came in, he sort of chucked in, and they chucked Bourdais out, and then,
yep.
You know, there you go, son, you know, there's your drive going with it. And it's, you know.
And Alguersuari was quite good towards the end as well.
Yeah.
We'll never see him again, will we?
Probably not.
I said Alex Felix da Costa, but it's Antonio, isn't it? It was close enough. It began with A. What more do you want?
Looks to be nice.
Well, neither of us corrected you, so we're all to blame here. So. Something else of note, talking about drivers and hot prospects and stuff. I have to tip my hat to Robert Kubica for winning his WRC2 title. So he did very, very well, given obviously all the stuff that's gone on with him over the years, to come back and then win a championship.
First time he'd raced to that level, I think, as well, wasn't it? wonder if we'll see him back in a Formula 1 car.
Apparently he'll never get, he'll never regain enough movement in his hands in order to operate a Formula 1 car at that level. Rallying, there isn't, you know, they just need the steering, but with the Formula 1 cars it's that much more. So
I think it was like a year ago I saw him on some sort of news programme and he couldn't even shake hands with the hand that he damaged.
Wow.
So
oh well,
yeah, it's a shame. He was yeah, another a driver to add to the, you know, the drivers we've got at the moment, a possible future champion, which,
he would have been, wouldn't yeah. he? Never mind. Okay, it's time for our of the weekends, of the India weekend. Driver and goat, which is where we usually start off. I would really like to suggest maybe the driver of the week is a fair split between Grosjean and Vettel.
What do you agree? I'd 60-40 towards Grosjean.
Okay.
Just drive for the back.
See, I'm actually, for the first time ever, going to say Vettel was my driver of the weekend. Just because he, you know, he dominated qualifying, and he was a very calm and methodical, and very, you know, he didn't get kind of nervous because he was going back through the field. You know, he just stuck to his strategy, raced his race, and he came out on top. Didn't, you know, he was quite a mild-mannered Sebastian Vettel, and I think he won well. He showed a very mature drive, which is sometimes can be a bit rare for him. So Grosjean almost gets it for me, but yeah, Vettel just pips.
I'd be inclined to agree with DT, I think, just on this occasion. Goat. Who is rubbish? I'd like to suggest maybe whoever gave Vettel his reprimand for celebrating with those fine donuts, or as I said, for not giving him quite a big enough reprimand so that it would have at least made the race in Abu Dhabi a bit interesting. Also, Jake Humphrey was going on about on Twitter about how he's never going to watch Formula 1 again because Vettel had been reprimanded for celebrating.
It's a big stream.
Jake's out the loop now, so
yeah, he's got lunchtime Saturday football time.
Exactly, yeah. Right. This is it. Any other suggestions? I did have Caterham written down because not two failures to finish. And
maybe yeah. It's quite a hard one, but yeah, maybe Guido van der Garde for his outburst at poor Max.
Poor Max. Idiot!
Yeah, it's
him again.
I'm going to award it to three people as a combined thing. I'm going to award it to Jenson Button, Fernando Alonso, and Lewis Hamilton for all racing really badly, for all just being pretty poor. You know,
what is a trio of goats? A flock of goats? I don't know what the answer to that is. A billy of goats, for you guys.
I was going to say a billy of goats.
I mean, it should be. But the other thing, team radios, Sauber's is brilliant. You can hear exactly every, it's like they're just in the studio, whereas Lotus, it's like they're sort of halfway down a toilet. So it's really weird how they vary.
Sometimes sounds like they're swearing at each other.
What, Lotus is?
Yeah,
funny that.
Yeah.
I think they just are, to be honest.
Yeah.
You can imagine it. Yeah. Team of the weekend. I've suggested Mercedes.
Really?
Two decent finishes, returning to second in the Constructors' Championship. Red Bull did win it, of course, which maybe should earn them there.
Yeah, I'd say. Oh, this is quite a hard one because it's one of those races where none of the top teams had two good results with both drivers. I'd say out of all of them, probably Lotus. To come from 17th through up to 3rd, you know, Kimi was right up there until the latter stages, so I'd say probably Lotus I'm going to say Lotus.
Kimi gets in my highlights for pitting, putting a fresh set of boots on and then taking the fastest lap off Sebastian Vettel, so I didn't have a clean sweep. That must have been a conversation that they'd had or something before the race. So that was my highlight, I think. Just is it Rocky coming up ready? Kimmy's going to obliterate your fastest lap, Seb. Not that it matters.
He didn't seem too happy at the end, did he? Might be on his sort of message to Vettel.
No, we'll talk about it when we get back. I think that's standard. He's probably spend 60 laps trying to calm him down as he normally does, which won't be easy. Highlights.
Can I quickly mention team?
Yeah. Carl.
It was like Force India. A bad run, and they got double points finish, their sort of home Grand Prix.
Fair enough.
I mentioned Force India.
Well, that probably wins it, to be honest, and we'll get into that. Yeah, highlight. Have you got a highlight, Carl?
I'm struggling, actually.
Massa at the start. Felipe Massa at the start, getting past both those Mercedes.
That was a Fernando-esque start.
I think I might have even clapped a little bit. on my own in my living room.
We need a video of that next time. Take that on your fancy iPhone. Slow down. I want to see that.
I'm struggling. I'm really struggling.
I'm struggling.
What was the first lap? I do quite enjoy the first lap at India. Lots seems to happen, especially that long straight. I got quite excited when Vettel was locking up. It's not the first corner, the third corner. Somebody could get ahead of him. But I think Hamilton got a bit too excited as well by seeing that, but losing his rear end. So I was good the first lap. I struggled really for highlights.
I quite like the track. It's a bit of a shame that it's going to have a year's break and might not come back. But at this point we would normally disappear and then we'll come back with a second pod, but instead I'm going to give you this and then we'll be back with our look ahead to Abu Dhabi. It is Abu Dhabi this weekend, round 17, back-to-back races, hence why we're doing this all in one podcast. There's nothing riding on this race, of the big stuff, anyway. It's the sunset race. That's a novelty. Track's not great, though, is it? Do you like the track?
It's okay. It's got some interesting bits. I think, having played it on a games console, it's actually got some quite interesting little complexes and bits pieces, but to watch, it's okay.
I've got a great line on this, though, that when I did the Q&A for the Lotus, Classic Lotus guys at Cinema City ahead of the Rush premiere, I can't remember who it was now, but he said that they'd put a guy who'd only ever been on, F1, the computer games and everything, and done it with it. They stuck him in an actual car, and he was like rocket fast. He was so quick. So it's basically, if you're good at the computer game now, you can, you DT could be a Formula One racer.
Gran Turismo, you have the Nissan have a GT Academy. Quite a few little drivers that come out of there. Endurance racing.
And you can kind of understand why to a certain degree, because they're, braking, accelerating, steering, taking your line and all that sort of stuff. That's all, these days, it all translates accurately from the digital to the real world. The only difference is the fact that in the real world, you physically have to do it. It's more of a physical thing.
Yeah, also if I'm actually getting the car and you think, actually, I can get hurt here if I break a bit.
Kyle. You can.
And if you're 28 stone, you could quite happily sit from the Xbox and be really, really fast. But put yourself in a race car at 28 stone, for a start, you probably wouldn't get in the thing. Definitely wouldn't get out.
Adrian Newey isn't going to be able to design a Formula One car for 20 stone now.
Which is quite relevant, actually.
Daniel Ricciardo. He's quite more hipped. So he's struggling to get in next year's car. The chassis slightly wider. Distraught, probably.
Expect all manner of technical and reliability issues with his car next year.
They've talked about drivers not being able to get drives for next season because of their height. They end up being too heavy. Like Jenson Button apparently is too heavy, really realistically, for the new sort of rules for Formula One. Yeah, he has 6% body fat.
Yeah.
The weight limit really needs to change. I just wish they would sort that out. You like the track more than I do then. We've learned that much.
It's all right.
Looks nice.
It's all right. Most important weekend for, or maybe on this occasion, who is this weekend actually important for?
Mercedes Ferrari, I think. Mercedes Ferrari, maybe Lotus as well.
So that battle for second.
Yeah.
And the championship, I guess.
It's exciting, isn't it? I think battle.
It's not important for any driver anymore, I don't think. It's now a team effort, because that's all that's left up for grabs, really. Because who really cares whether or not you're second in the driver championship?
I think he probably doesn't want to finish top three, just to turn up for the FIA gala dinner.
Well, if he didn't want to last year, he's really not going to want to this, is he? Let's be honest. And we're talking millions in terms of the Constructors' Championship, isn't there? There's millions and millions.
That's important for Lotus. Probably Ferrari, Mercedes probably can do about it, but I think for Lotus, it's a big deal.
All right then, we'll leave us with prediction time. Now, it is my week off. I apologise, I have not recalculated this week's table. But before the week in India, the weekend in India, I was ahead of UDT. I didn't have that great a prediction week. I said that Vettel wouldn't win when he did. I said that it'd be a Mercedes on pole, which it wasn't, and Lotus on the podium, which it was, and Gutierrez would head out of Q1, which he didn't. He was 16th, I think, on the grid, so not much better. Ped, our man who's miles ahead, Mercedes 1-2 in qualifying, Hamilton win, Red Bulls P2 and 3 in the race, and a McLaren double points finish. Nothing doing for the psychic sidekick. Kyle, Sutil and Maldonado out in Q1. You were half right. Maldonado went out, Sutil scraped through. Grosjean to out-qualify Raikkonen, and Massa to out-qualify Alonso in qualifying, obviously. You were right with Massa, weren't you? Massa out-qualified Alonso. Grosjean obviously slipped up. And Webber to win, which we'd have all loved to happen, but it didn't happen. So you did pretty well out of that. I'll recalculate the standings after this week. DT, you're back. What have you got for us? What are you expecting from Abu Dhabi?
I'm expecting a Vettel victory.
Yes. I will just about include that.
just to be obvious.
I'll have that as well. I'll put that back out as well.
And I think we are going to have a Mercedes and a Ferrari on the podium. And be second for Hamilton and third for Alonso, and that's all I can really be bothered to predict.
Okay, that's good. I like that. It's a good old solid podium. Kyle,
I'll start with qualifying.
Yes, please.
I'm going to go Vettel pole, and then my two that go out of Q1. I'm going to go Maldonado again, and everyone's tricky. I think Sauber will be alright. I'll go both Williams actually.
Okay.
It's a bit harsh on Williams, but yeah. Both Williams out.
Lovely. In Q1.
And then for the race, I'm going to put two Mercedes on the podium.
Love it.
Yeah, so that's my
double Mercedes podium. Yeah. Well, that's a pretty good shout. I like that. I've said Vettel will win, haven't I? I want to say Webber on the podium, but I'm not going to, because I don't think it will happen. So I reckon there'll be a Force India out in Q1, and I've already said Vettel will win, and I think that Hamilton will be the best of the rest. And then I will say that a top 10 finish for Gutierrez. There you go, Gutierrez to get a point.
Is he your new Grosjean?
He seems to be, doesn't he? Seems to be. Might not happen, but I've thrown it out there. He'll probably now get knocked out in Q1, which is what I qualified for this week. Yes.
I can say that I would like, I'm not going to predict this, but I would like Button to finish ahead of Grosjean to finish ahead of Perez. I don't really mind where they end up. They remind me, you know, at what point down the field that they finish like that. But as long as they finish in that particular order, then I can have a little chuckle to myself.
Okay, so that one's worthy of a chuckle. Maybe a kudos point. I'll give you a kudos point.
Yeah, it'll be worthy of a chuckle. In case anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, in the Formula One standings, the each driver has obviously a three-letter version of their name, and Button has Butt, and Grosjean has Gro, Perez has per. So put it all together and you can work it out from there.
Fantastic.
So that's why I'll have a bit of a chuckle.
This is what we were reduced to now that all the big offers, big honours are dealt with.
I'm nothing if not highbrow.
I love it. Dude, that's why we have you here, DT. Quality, that's what it is, and quantity. Bit of both. But sadly, we better end it because I'm off this week. I don't want to work too hard. I'm a week off. Carl, DT, thank you so much for your
pleasure.
Time.
Pleasure.
Thank you all for listening. We'll be around on Twitter as always. Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Well, I won't. I'll be honest with you. I probably won't be on Twitter this weekend, but there'll be the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix this weekend. And if you want to get a hold of us, then just think at EDPF1 on Twitter and the EDP Facebook page, which is facebook.com/EDPF1. And I'm at Michael J. Bailey on Twitter. And these two are DT.
I'm at Dave Tullier.
And Kai.
At K Cumbers.
And there we are. We are all done. Thank you to the Scampi Fries. They have all gone. Oh, there's one left, Carl. Oh,
that's mine.
That's gone.
Yes.
There he goes. Done. Thank you to the Scampi Fries. Thank you to the Rose in Norwich. And
lovely glass of tap water.
It was a very good glass of tap water. I expect you might be having another one in a minute.
Colour though.
Yeah. Well, less said about that, the better. Goodbye, and thanks for listening.